Hey friends, I'm Jess Connolly. I'm an author, a coach, a Bible teacher, and a local church leader, and I love talking to real people who know what it means to have full lives, but also want to walk in abundance. This podcast is for you. It's not my podcast, it's ours. It's for people who crave lighthearted conversations and deeply spiritual truth. It's for people who are busy, tired, waiting, growing, dreaming, working, or praying about what's next. Wherever you're listening from, if it's quiet, mundane, or busy, I am praying for you and I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. All right, if you've ever heard me or anyone else talk about rest and think, must be nice, this episode is for you. If you've ever thought, I wish I could rest, but I have toddlers to feed or a job to go to or people who need me, this episode is for you. If you know you're exhausted, but you have no idea how to get off the hamster wheel of doing too much, this episode is for you. This episode is for all the tired women who have a million valid reasons to keep going at the pace that is currently making them feel tired. This episode is for the rest skeptics, the ones who've rolled their eyes at every video on social media of some other woman living a soft and quiet life. Today, we're talking about all the things that keep us from resting, the lies, the barriers, and the beliefs we were raised in. My goal isn't necessarily to change your mind, but hopefully you hear something that softens your heart toward this one idea. God gives rest to those he loves, and he loves you. All right, listen to me, all skeptics. Listen to me, all rest avoiders. I was one of you. Before I wrote Tired of Being Tired, I do not mind telling you that I read every single book I could get my hands on about rest. And there were some of them that I thought, wow, this sounds beautiful for somebody. It's just not going to work for my life. There were some that made me irate, honestly, because their suggestions were so preposterous and so undoable for me that I would get mad. And there were some that just made me feel deep shame because some of the ways that people described rest did not sound enjoyable or life-giving to me. And I did not want to do those things. And so when I started writing Tired of Being Tired, I started writing it as a skeptic, truly. And some of you might have heard me say this, but I researched the scientific method before I ever started writing because I was like, I think that I want to follow a path of having a hypothesis and trying to research some ideas. And if those things work, then I will write a book. And so I just want to tell you, if you have previously had serious questions about why or how resting will work for you, this episode is for you. You're safe. Now, that being said, I'm going to ask you to do something with me in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you just for this episode not to play devil's advocate. As we talk through these different reasons about why we as women avoid rest or why we can't rest, I want to ask you to not play devil's advocate. And here's the number one reason. The enemy of your soul wants you to believe that rest will never work for you. He just does. The enemy of your soul wants you to keep pushing, to keep pressing, to keep striving, to keep living exhausted, because he does not want you to experience intimacy with God your Father, who gives rest to those he loves. So my question for you, if you have often found yourself playing devil's advocate, is do you want to advocate for the devil? Do you want to be on team, rest will never work for me? Because that is what the enemy says. I want to take a very honest and realistic look at what keeps us from resting and about what might need to shift in our lives, but we can't do it if we keep being on his team. So just for the length of this episode, I want to encourage you, don't play devil's advocate. So we're going to walk through a couple of caveats or a couple of arguments that people have against rest, a couple of reasons why they feel like it won't work for them, et cetera. And you're going to notice that as the episode goes on, they're going to get increasingly more extreme. So we're going to start with some of the lighter things and get into maybe some more of the heavier concerns or questions that you might have about rest. So the first one is this. I hear women say all the time, I can't rest until everything is done. So this might sound like I have a hard time, you know, stopping until the house is clean at night. Or I would love to take a day off, but my email inbox just like always seems to be full. Or I would love for my family to engage in rhythms of rest together, but my kids always have something going on and it's just too difficult. The work is really never done, and so I really can't ever rest. Or maybe I will rest once the work is done. I will take a day off once I get all these tasks finished, or I will take a day off once I get through this hard season at work. Maybe you say, I would love to develop rhythms of rest with my family, but there's too much going on. We've got too much on our plate. So whatever this sounds like for you, if you say you can't rest until the work is done, or maybe you can't even enjoy rest until the work is done, you and I are going to head back to Genesis 1. So whenever I tell people that I'm about to talk about rest in Genesis, they're like, we know God rested on the seventh day. And I'm not even talking about that. So again, stop playing devil's advocate and roll in your eyes. Let's go together with happy hearts and see what God might want to teach us. Here's what I want to tell you. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. I'm going to read it out loud to you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. So what we see is God say, let there be light, and there was light, and he called it good, and then he calls the darkness good. He calls the light day, and the darkness he calls night. And then right here in verse 5, he does a switcheroo. So he says, I made light, it's good, that's day. I made dark, it's good, that's night. But when he sets the universe into motion, it says, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. He puts night first. He puts rest first. This means that we as created beings, as sons and daughters of God who live in the now and not yet kingdom of God's reign here on earth, this means that we rest first and then we work. We don't earn our rest. We don't rest when the work is finished. We don't enjoy rest once the work is finished. We rest first. We rest without trying to earn it. I want to tell you something really interesting that has like blown my mind in doing a lot of talking about tired, being tired right now. I'm doing a lot of interviews on other podcasts and getting interviewed for different places. And it's so fun. It's such a joy to talk about the book. But I noticed this one really kind of messed up question keeps coming up. So interviewers with the best intentions keep saying, how can we give women permission to rest? How can we give women permission to rest? How can we give ourselves permission to rest? Here's the problem. Once you start asking this question, the premise of the question is so messed up, we'll never be able to answer it because we don't need permission to rest. We don't need permission to rest. By grace, through faith, if you walk with God, you have the invitation to rest. You even have a commandment to rest. There was evening and there was morning the first day. You don't need permission to rest. But when you start asking, how can I do enough to get permission to rest? You'll never be able to answer that question. There will never be able to be enough that you do that will make you feel comfortable to rest. I don't believe just because I've told you this about Genesis 1, you're going to start living differently and acting differently. I don't believe that you're immediately going to be like, okay, great, awesome. Now I feel great about resting all the time. But this is what I do know about how people change. When we know differently, when our minds change, and then we do differently, then we often feel differently. So you are going to have to know, okay, God created the world with rest coming first. I can work from my rest. Then you're going to have to do differently. I'm going to begin to rest without making a million caveats about it, without trying to finish all my work first. And then eventually you are going to feel like that is good and worth celebrating and enjoyable, but it might feel uncomfortable at first. So here's the second reason I think a lot of us avoid rest. We think it's boring. honestly, it sounds boring to us. It sounds not enjoyable. And I want to just tell you right now, this is because the enemy is the one who came to steal and kill and destroy, and he's the father of lies. The idea that rest is boring is a really bad PR smear campaign that is working. It's fake news is what it is. It's the enemy of our souls convincing us that the one thing that'll make us feel put back together. In fact, in my private life, I don't even love to use the word rest. Instead, I use the word recreate. I want to do things that help me feel recreated in God's image and help me feel more like myself. This idea that rest is boring is a horrible smear campaign. I actually like get uncomfortable in my body when I hear people say it. I'd liken it to this. Have you ever heard anyone talk about how they think heaven's going to be boring? Oh, hell would be so much fun. It's all these people partying. Heaven's going to be a bunch of people sitting around on clouds playing harps. What a horrible smear campaign. Our souls were meant to worship God, and it's life-giving and it's enjoyable. Heaven is not going to be boring. And guess what? Heaven is not going to be all rest. We see proof in the New Testament that in the new creation for eternity, there's going to be cultivation. We're going to have roles. We're going to get to use stuff that God gives us because he knows that that makes us feel alive and awake. But also, we're going to know ultimate and true rest in heaven, and it's not going to be boring. And so when we rest here on earth, it should be us practicing for heaven, and it should not be boring. If you're resting in a way that feels boring for you, try a new way. Different personality types, different seasons, different people call for different kinds of rest. If I try to rest exactly how my husband rests, I would be bored. But me, when I do what recreates me, what helps me feel most connected to God and to myself and to my body and to my people, it is not 1 ounce of boring. If you think rest is boring, you have got to promise me you'll retire to being tired, because it will help you figure out what kind of tired you are and what kind of rest is most created for you. All right, let's go a little bit deeper. A lot of us avoid rest, or we believe we can't rest, because it would mean that we are lazy. Maybe we would think we were being lazy. Maybe other people would think we're lazy. Maybe God would think we're lazy. Number one, right now, we need to break ties with the idea that rest is anywhere near laziness. Laziness is real. Sloth is an actual sin. Not using what you've got, sitting on your gifts, squandering your time, numbing out so that you're not awake and alive to God and his kingdom and his people, that's not good. That's bad. That's not rest. That's laziness. And I am a person who can absolutely experience sloth and feel that, and then I need to repent from that. But rest is different. Rest helps me connect with God. Rest leaves me feeling more awake to his kingdom, not less awake. And so if you are wondering what the difference is, the most honest answer I can give you is this. You know in your spirit. You know after you've rested that you feel more like yourself, more connected to God, more connected to other people, more ready to live your life. You know when you have been lazy and when you have been maybe hiding instead of resting, you know what that feels like too. And you feel maybe more isolated, or you feel more disconnected from God. We know in our spirits. And the reason why I can't give you a list of what's laziness and what's rest is because that would be legislating something that is different for everybody. It would be turning rest into legalism. And the truth is that the way you rest might look lazy if I did it in my life, but it can still be so right and so good for you. That being said, if Jesus Christ himself needed sleep and needed time away with God, rest, true rest, cannot be lazy or sinful. And we cannot continue living or speaking this thought pattern out loud. I want to just give a special caveat right here for mothers, or truly for anybody who is leading in any community. The way that you talk about your rest and the way that you talk about other people's rest really, truly matters. So I want to invite you to get really sensitive about maybe any time that you might call something lazy when it's not. And I don't want you to feel bad or feel shame or feel broken if you've done this in the past, but I do want to just ask you to like maybe let your spirit get a little sensitive about when you call things lazy, because even your kids hearing you say like, oh, I'm taking a lazy day, when you're really taking a rest day, that's speaking something over them that maybe they just don't need to hear. Don't call yourself lazy if you're resting. Call it rest, because that's what it is. Okay, let's take a very quick break and we'll be right back. From where I sit, where I record my podcast in my house, I can look at my very favorite piece of Lindsay Letters art that is on my wall. Lindsay Letters is an online store for people who want to create meaningful spaces in their lives. I'll also tell you that Lindsay of Lindsay Letters is a dear and good friend of mine, and I love her, and she has blessed me with her artwork for years now, and I buy a new piece almost once a year because I'm obsessed with her art and how it makes me feel. Lindsay specializes in abstract artwork with color palettes ranging from subdued neutrals to bright and bold, and she actually has over 300 pieces of art to choose from, including landscapes, vintage reproductions, some with just beautiful hand lettering and meaningful words. And she has art that's available as small scale art prints or huge, large scale framed canvases, and really honestly, everything in between. If you've ever looked at my Instagram and seen a piece of art in the background, it's Lindsay's, because I love her art. I love what she does. I love her eye, and I love knowing her and knowing the beautiful, soulful thoughts behind her artwork. She is incredible just at creating really meaningful and inspiring pieces of art. I would love to offer you a 20% off code, which is huge, a 20% off code to apply to anything on Lindsay's website. And our hope is that when you see the art on your wall, it serves as a reminder that you're worthy of all the beauty the world has to offer. The code is JESS20, and it will get you 20% off your purchase. I cannot wait to see what you get. Tag me in it. I want to see the art that you pick for your house. All right, we're back. We've got two biggies left, two big reasons why a lot of us are avoiding rest or feel like we can't rest. And what in the world do we do about them? Here's number four. Some of us are avoiding rest because no one else around us will rest. If we took the time to do what we need to do to be recreated by God, the problem is no one else around us will. And I want to just speak to this with as much compassion as I can. So for many of us, if we walk into our jobs tomorrow and say, hey, I'm cutting back on my hours, I need to fight the existential, deep spiritual exhaustion that I feel, we are not going to be met with encouragement or a raise. For many of us, our fears that we'll be judged or we'll be rejected if we rest, that's founded in historical evidence that slowing down or saying no in the past has disappointed or angered other people. For many of us, embracing a life of rest will make us the most countercultural person we know, even though we find ourselves in Christian circles and churches. For many of us, making real and lasting shifts towards a more sustainable pace of life will only highlight how different we are from everyone else. I'm holding this with you. And here's this encouragement. God has given us the gift we need to experience peace, health, and restoration in our souls. More than just giving us the gift of rest, he's also asked us to be obedient. And I am assuming that this double whammy of invitation and commandment means that he knew it would be tough for us to obey. But here's one huge reason that I don't think the reaction and responses of other people should keep us from resting. This is how the world changes. One woman in a friend group begins to feel uncomfortable with gossip, and she begins lovingly changing the conversation. And soon after, the entire culture changes and all the women are speaking life and keeping each other's names safe. One family in a church decides to foster or adopt, and what once seemed insurmountable or scary suddenly seems accessible, and it's a new way for everybody to obey God and serve his kids. Maybe one community member begins to go against the grain and stand for what's good and whole. And one person stands up and stands out and stands firm for something that matters, and other people take note. And so my question is this: what if you are the catalyst for kingdom change in your community? What if you say, I'm tired of being tired. I don't care who's coming with me. I'm going to start resting. And that becomes the impetus for an entire cultural shift. What if God has placed you where you're at on purpose to be the one to start to shift the culture around you? What if you start resting and everyone else sees the renewal and the peace and the healing and the hope rise up in your life and they follow you? What if? Number five, this is the hard one. If I don't, who will? If I stop to rest and I don't do X, Y, and Z, who will do it? If I rest and I don't go to work, who's going to pay the bills? If I rest and I change my life and something shifts and people don't get loved or people don't get served, who will? I want to speak to this right here. Number one, there are seasons where it doesn't matter. We cannot make huge sweeping changes that would enable us to rest. And I get it. Again, I told you guys when I started reading books on rest, this is one of the most defeating things for me, is that I was hearing people talk about quitting their jobs or changing the way they do X, Y, and Z or not serving anymore. And I was like, I can't do that. I can't make a drastic change to my life. I couldn't just quit my job. Multiple people's income depends on me, including also my family's well-being. So I couldn't just say like, sorry, I'm out. I need a season of rest. I need to take a couple months off. That wasn't realistic for me. But also I felt called to a lot of the things I was doing and I didn't feel like God was releasing me from them. There are seasons where we can't just make sweeping changes. And that's where I think it's so beautiful that we can turn to other forms of rest. Let me give you an example. When my kids were 3 and under, I couldn't get more sleep. It wasn't a time for 8 hours a night. That wasn't the season for me. But I could have paid attention to my spiritual and mental exhaustion and made shifts there. Did I? No, because I didn't understand there were different types of tired then, but now I do. Right now, when it's a tense work season for me, I can support my mental fatigue by doing things like keeping my car cleaned out and turning my phone off. It doesn't mean that I stop going into my job. It doesn't mean that I change my whole life. It does mean that I use the other types of fatigue and the other types of rest to support me where I maybe can't make big shifts. Please, please, please don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't assume just because you can't make changes in one area of your life, that means you can't make shifts in other areas of your life. This is a huge reason why in Tired of Being Tired, we have a whole chapter called Find the Fatigue to help you understand maybe where your real fatigue is, because you might think it's physical, but it might be spiritual. You might think you're emotionally fatigued, but you might need a little bit more sleep. Or you might think that you are spiritually fatigued and then find out that actually just you're struggling mentally. And there's a couple of ways that you could support that. So I would love for you to experience the relief where you can, if you can't make huge, big, lasting changes. Here's another little thing. If you are walking around saying like, if I don't, who will? I want to ask, does this sound like something God would say to you? Do you feel like God, our good, kind, compassionate, loving, merciful Father, and our friend and Savior Jesus, who has experienced every temptation that we have and compassionately comes toward us, do you feel like he would say to you, well, if you don't do this, who will? I was really counting on you, and now you've let me down. So if you're living in this kind of like acceptance of defeat, that it's never going to change for you, is that how God would talk to you? I'm going to end this podcast by telling you guys something wild. I'm going to tell you something crazy that might not sound that wild to you, but it sounds wild to me. And I've been talking about it with my friends. I've been talking about it to my husband. I'm talking about it in my office because I cannot stop thinking about this thing that I just found out in scripture. This isn't in the book. I'm probably not ever going to talk about it anywhere else publicly. And I am still figuring out what I think about it, but I just want to put it on the table for all of us. I recently found out, I was studying for a message I was going to give, And I went to go find the passage where it says, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. And I wanted to understand maybe more of the Greek or the Hebrew of that. I wanted to understand like what was behind that? What was behind this idea that we are the hands and feet of Jesus? We're the hands and feet of God. And this is obviously a phrase we hear a ton. You're the hands and feet of Jesus. Actually, just yesterday, after I did all this study, I heard a reel about what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, here's what's wild. When I started studying it, I realized it's not biblical. It's not in the Bible. There's no verse in the Bible that says we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Now listen, there is 1 Corinthians 12. There is 1 Corinthians 12 where Paul is talking about us being the body of Christ. And he says, would the hand say to the foot or would the foot say to the mouth? And he's talking about the different parts of the body of Christ as if they are body parts. But that passage is actually about church unity. It's about Christian unity. It's not about our representation of Jesus to the world. So once I realized this, I kind of just went reeling and I couldn't get over this wild idea that Jesus never says, you are my hands, you are my feet. He says a lot of other things. He says, you're my disciples. He says, you're my friends. He says, you are my ambassadors. He says, you are disciple makers. I'm calling you to go to the ends of the earth. But I have, and I think I'm going to be thinking about this for a really long time, but I have this hunch that potentially by continually calling ourselves the hands and feet of Jesus, a lot of us may be overinflating our responsibility in the kingdom of God. And we might be missing out on seeing how God can and will show up in supernatural and miraculous ways without using our hands and our feet. I think we may be thinking as if God continually is needing us and acting as if God continually is needing us and missing out on the good news that getting to use our God-given gifts, getting to serve, getting to love, getting to show up for people, getting to be present, getting to build, getting to speak truth, getting to speak life, getting to hug, getting to, I don't know, all the other ways that all of that is what we get to do, that it's our honor, that it's our right. And maybe not necessarily our responsibility and something he's put on us as an obligation. So that's just something I'm rolling around in my head these days. And it's really helping me as I process this question. If I don't, who will? For all the women who just can't rest, what if you could? For all the women who have all of these caveats, I just have this question to ask you. What if you tried? What if you took a season of time in your life and treated it like an experiment and said, what if I tried? What if I tried to rest in these small ways? What if I made some risky moves or took some time to actually see what it looks like for me to be recreated? What if I trusted God when he says he gives rest to those he loves? I wonder what might happen. Let me pray for us. Father, we bless you and we thank you that you give rest to those that you love. We bless you and we thank you that even though we come with a million different devil's advocates thoughts and a million different caveats and a million different concerns, that your love and your grace and compassion keeps coming toward us. And so we just collectively, we want to put our defenses down. We want to see what it might look like to receive your realistic rest in the name of Jesus. Thank you. We bless you. In your name, amen. Friends, I'm so grateful you listened to today's episode. Thanks for spending time with me. It would mean the world to me to connect with you. So you can send me a DM on Instagram at Jess A. Connolly or head to my website, jessconnolly.com, for more ways to connect. If you have a minute to subscribe and leave a review of the podcast wherever you listen, it would massively help us reach more people with the good news that they can live fully awake. Let's go.